Arnold was polite, not being daft, manners were pretty good, but then picked up the scent of my neighbor's catheter bag, oh my word, and all hell broke out. Oh my word.
Before we dive in, a warning, the content of this podcast may not be appropriate for some young listeners. This is real life, and that means that sometimes it can be a little bit graphic, so listen on at your own peril. As a veterinarian, dog behaviorist, best-selling author, and trainer, over the past decade, I've had an obsession with transforming the behavior of dogs. Understanding their brains and creating practical strategies that you can implement easily at home. I know all too well when the dream you imagined when you first got your dog is far from your daily reality. In fact, out of the blue, a few months ago, my little dog Gorse was bitten by a dog 20 times her size. And suddenly our life of stress-free walks, a calm and cuddly household, and being teammates was replaced with reactivity, anxiety, and worrying about what's around the next corner. I'm Dr. Tom, this is the Help My Dog podcast, and this is me documenting that journey of transformation, sharing my knowledge and experience with you and having a few laughs along the way. All right, HMD family, so it's a very special episode. It's an episode that I think you're all gonna like. It's a cringe special. So literally we are dedicating this episode to the chaos that dogs bring into our lives, where we can listen to people's embarrassing stories and think, thank goodness that wasn't me. We can think, oh, well, it could be worse. But also we can celebrate the fact that actually the reason why we got our dogs was not to be robots, was not to be, you know, just, you know, silent and certain, and we always would know what they were going to do next. Instead, we wanted a little bit of variety, right? We wanted to spice our lives up a little bit. And then sometimes we regret that decision, but equally that we need to remind ourselves of that and celebrate it. So let's dive right in. 10 years ago, I had surgery on my wrist to repair an injury. After I got the cast off, I started physical therapy, but I had very limited range of motion. One night, our Aussie Kiki planted herself in the middle of the bedroom door to sleep. When I got up in the middle of the night, I tripped over her, falling forward and landing with both arms extended on my hands. Ow! I was terrified that I had done something horrible to undo the surgical repair. The next day, I was almost embarrassed to tell the physical therapist what I had done. He then said, "Wow, you have way more range of motion today in that wrist." Whereupon I confessed to tripping over my dog. We subsequently referred to it as the Kiki maneuver. I had apparently broken some scar tissue loose and made my wrist better. Kiki the chiropractor.
We should be celebrating these medical genius dogs that seem to be anticipating their owner's needs. Like the one that made the dentures the right size.
Oh yeah, yes. The dentist dog. We've had the dentist dog. We've got the Kiki the chiropractor. Yeah.
And there was the dog. Oh no, that wasn't really the dog's fault. The dog that whose poo bag broke up that marriage.
Oh yeah, no, I don't. Yeah, not probably dog. Not the marriage counsellor dog. We're yet to hear about them. Right. Next up, many years ago, we were walking our Labrador Robbie in a large local park. It was a warm Sunday in summer, and there were quite a few people enjoying picnics. Naturally, we had him on his lead, just in case. Some friends we knew called us over for a chat, and despite asking them not to, tossed Robbie some tidbits from their picnic, including a couple of mini pork pies. I'd be grabbing those. I love a pork pie. So we made our excuses and left to visit the adjoining nature reserve where there were no picnics. When we were some distance away, we thought it safe to let Robbie off his lead. His recall was excellent, but big mistake. The lure of pork pies was just too much, and he immediately turned and, ignoring our calls, rocketed back to the park in the direction of our friends in hope of more pork pies. I find myself doing that on a regular basis.
Well, at least we knew they wouldn't be upset by his sudden return. We ran after him as fast as we could, but of course we weren't a match for Robbie, and to our horror we could see that our friends had packed up and left. No! Robbie, undeterred, was racing down the hill towards another picnic. Still in hot pursuit, we could only watch in horror as he swooped in on a picnic blanket containing a full spread of Indian food and a small baby. Which did he eat first? He proceeded to gobble up all the delicious chicken tikka while the understandably terrified mother scooped up her baby.
Which would we have scooped up first? You would have scooped up the chicken tikka.
Yeah. We arrived at the scene and hauled him away, apologising profusely and trying to explain that he wasn't a danger. We offered to pay for the food, but just got a torrent of anger from the baby's parents. I can't imagine why. Again, totally understandable, and I know I'd have been the same in their shoes. We half expected to see the story feature on the front page of our local newspaper the following week. Lesson learned, never underestimate the acute sense of smell and greed of a Labrador. It's actually a really good training point, that one, because... Interestingly, have you ever found this where you pass something or something happens on a walk and then you carry on the walk and it's almost like half of your dog's brain is still with that thing, still with that other thing? So they're walking away, they're moving away, yeah? In theory, they're disengaging from that thing, but they're not mentally disengaging from that thing. And this is something that in the Help My Dog Online Hub, we talk about, we teach how to train it, because there's this thing called level 4 disengagement. And there are various levels of your dog's ability to disengage that you can train for with simple games and strategies. But level 4 disengagement is mental disengagement. And it's often an area where people aren't aware of that level of disengagement. They're not aware of how to train it, and it doesn't form part of their training plans. Robbie's such a good example, actually, of we had physical disengagement, like we were moving away from it, yeah? Our eyes were pointing in a different direction. We were quite some distance away from it, but the mental disengagement hadn't happened. And so upon removing the lead, he was like, I'm off back there. And some dogs are really, really, you know, extreme with this, where they can, like, I don't know, it can be like a melted ice cream at the start of the walk, and then you walk for 20 minutes and they're like, oh, right, off I go, back I go. I think the other learning point from that is, until you master that level of mental disengagement, you almost have to imagine that as your dog's going through the world, through the environment, as the walk's progressing, they're leaving bits of their brain with different experiences, you know, 10% of their engagements with the pork pies, 20% of their brains with the picnic blanket with the baby on, 30% of their brain cells are with that dog that they enjoyed playing with that they managed to tear themselves away from. And that's why sometimes their behavior can deteriorate throughout the walk. And sometimes how that can look is they almost look mentally tired, and you start to ask them to do things and they find it harder to process, slower to process, they get stickier, they get more thinky. And it's literally because there are fewer brain cells in their head, right? Because they've left them all as they go, because they've not mastered this skill of mental disengagement. So a bit of like dog behavior and science, and I guess practical, like this is what you need to aim for, yeah? And Robbie's owners learned the hard way. Right, next one. Hey guys, I just want to take a little pause to let you know how you can get involved with the official Help My Dog membership hub. If you're enjoying geeking out about the science of dog behavior, want to watch dogs practically being trained in real life, and you want to progress even further, you can join our members-only community and get targeted learning with me each and every week to help you combat your dog struggles at home, on walks, and out and about. And right now, when you jump in, you can actually watch Gorse's behavior rehabilitation from trauma to triumph in an over-the-shoulder video diary showing real-life situations. To find out more, just head over to www.helpmydog.com/hub. Right, next one. Fresh off the press. Well, maybe not quite. The first incident took place at Christmas. Oh, so it's a recent one. However, as in the past 6 months. However, we had a similar situation today, which has gone really well thanks to Tom's teaching on the Help My Dog Hub. Yay, that's so cool. So it all started about a month ago when our neighbours came round with some legal paperwork requiring signatures. restraining order. No. was polite, not being daft,
I think, let's bleep it.
Yeah, we'll bleep. Okay, accidentally said the dog's name. We're going to bleep it. It's been bleeped, as you are aware. You've experienced it. Right. Arnold was polite, not being daft, manners were pretty good, but then picked up the scent of my neighbor's catheter bag. Oh my word, and all hell broke out. Oh my word. He was around his leg and then got very excited and jumped up, seemingly disconnecting catheter bag from the tubing, which resulted in urine being spilled. Not so much a drip, more wave of urine spreading out across the hardwood floor. Oh my word, my ex-nursing instincts kicked in and I threw our festive tablecloth over the puddle and grabbed a tea towel to wrap around the bag while swiftly reconnecting it to the, I don't know what that word is, but it's some medical word, on the tubing, rolling up my neighbour's trouser leg without even asking. No! I then sat my neighbour down, thrust a sherry in his hand, and scooped up the urine-soaked tablecloth. You are Lara Amazing Croft, instinct. My friend. This is like, yeah. This is awesome. They were very forgiving, but left soon after slugging the sherry down like a tequila shot. Fast forward a month on, we had them return for a trust document to be witnessed to. What was the dog's name?
Arnold.
Arnold was kept in another room until the papers were signed, listening to Tom's podcast, actually, as he loves Tom's voice. Hey, Arnold, if you're listening, send him my love. Then, on a lead, he was brought out to say hello as he was due a comfort break, and he went straight to his boundary. Yay! That's so good. Well done. And they saw a big difference in him. My neighbour's catheter remained unchallenged and peace was maintained. Wow. Wow on so many levels. One, that was quick thinking. Two, maybe ask permission next time. Three, way to go training, right? That was awesome. Way to go in implementing the strategies. Right. All right. Another cringe story. Not a cringy dog story, but a cringy dog sitter story. Interesting. I recently booked a dog sitter to stay in my house with...
Right, let's bleep that one too.
We have to bleep. It's a bleep heavy episode.
Oh dear.
Why can't I think of a name?
Frederick.
Frederick. Right. I recently booked a dog sitter to stay in my house with Frederick whilst we went away for 2 nights. Her reviews were really good and she says she looks after the house like she would look after her own house. All went well and I received plenty of photos of her and Frederick out and about. She asked what time we would be due back and said that she would be leaving before we returned. At the time, Frederick was 18 months, so I was a little concerned about him being on his own for too long, so planned to return early. I messaged the person in the morning that we would be back earlier than planned and sent a text when we were leaving that we would be an hour and a half. She said that she was just about to go out with Frederick for his morning walk and it would be fine to arrive back early. However, I think she clearly panicked and didn't pack up all that she had brought. Oh my word. We arrived back and checked round the house and discovered two pairs of women's knickers hanging on the back of the dining room chairs. I messaged the lady to ask if she would like to come and collect the clothes she had forgotten and prayed that they were clean as I put them into a plastic bag for her. She had also managed to take Frederick's lead with her and needed to bring it back when she collected her pants. If I hadn't, that's underwear for anybody who's not British. If I hadn't wanted Frederick's lead back, I'm not sure I would have told her. She was clearly embarrassed, but did reassure me that the pants were clean and she'd left them on the dining room table chair as she couldn't find anywhere else to hang them. What?
I know, very strange.
I mean, I can think of a few other places, but... she being here just 2 nights, so I'm not sure why she needed to wash them, and we have a bath that she could have hung them over. She was right that she looks after the house like she would look after her own house. Ooh, sassy. She also ate, three pot noodles from my cupboard over 2 days, but did leave the money for them. Forgiven. She looked after Frederick really well, but I'm a little reluctant to use her again as I never ever want to find a stranger's pants hanging on the back of my dining room chairs.
See, now, I don't think that's that bad. What do
as
you
in,
think?
What do you mean?
I don't know. Don't think it's that bad.
It's tricky, isn't it? Because finding someone who does a great job with your dog, you know, if you have to take some dirty underwear, you know, desperate times sometimes. Right. Okay, let's do one more. Another cringe special. Okay. Hearing all these cringe stories come in, I thought to myself, have we ever had one? This isn't me, by the way, this is someone who's written in. We have 8 dogs. There must be a cringe moment. Then it hit me. A story I tried to forget, but I'll never be able to forget. When my now wife and I started dating...
This really does sound like us. It does, but it's not.
This is not us. When my now wife and I started dating, we each had 1 dog. We were hanging out at my parents' house as I was living there at the time. We gave the dogs some frozen raw bones to work on. They were smaller cut, round, raw bones. Out of nowhere, we look over and her dog had the bones stuck around her jaw. Oh my word, there was no hope. We tried so hard to figure out how to calm her down to get it off, but she would death shake her head away as she does anytime she plays with a toy, but in a panic. My dad came over and said, obviously we were being dramatic. He then learned how strong and intense she was too. We were panicking a bit. It was 10 p.m. or so on a Friday night. No normal vets were open. Then my mum comes around the corner and yells... No normal vets were open. Then my mum comes around the corner and yells... I got the lube. She's holding a bottle of adult lube. High... in the air. I yell, no! And we drove to the emergency vet so fast. They were able to get to us within a couple of hours, give our dog a tranquilizer and break the bone off. Long story short, we won't be buying those skinny raw marrow bones ever again.
Oh, the words you never want your mum to say.
That is shocking. That is shocking. Oh, awesome. Well done. That is that could have gone many directions and I did not expect it to go that direction. That has made my day. Guys, we thought we'd do a cringe special because we're celebrating. We're celebrating that dogs are dogs, right? They are not robots. They are not filled with certainty. They sometimes surprise us and sometimes our mums do too. That was this episode of the Help My Dog podcast. We will see you next time and make sure to leave us a review if you have not already because that helps other dog owners. That creates the ripple. See you real soon, guys.